This is the continuation of session 3.
Okay. You know, I'm starting a silent retreat for 3 years in March. So I've never taught this whole thing to any of my students. So they're all like, we have to do every line. Okay. So here we go. It says three objects, three poisons, three stores of virtue. Do you have that one?
Yeah.
This is very simple. It's not a big thing. And by the way, we will stop on time in 15 minutes. Three objects means things you like, things you don't like, and things you don't care either way. Okay? Neutral. Okay? Three objects means things you like, things you don't like, and neutral things. Okay? Three poisons means things you don't like, you get angry or upset. The things you do like, you get possessive. You want them. Okay? Things you don't care about, the third poison is you don't understand where they came from. All right? So these are the three bad thoughts and three things that you have them about. I'll say it again. The three objects mentioned here are things you don't like, things you do like, and then things you don't care much, either way. The three poisons are your three normal reactions. I hate this guy. Or I want this thing. Or I don't know where this came from. Okay. All right. Three stores of virtue means the three new reactions you're going to have. Okay. If something comes up to you which is bad, if something happens to you which is negative, now what are you going to do? For example, if someone yells at you, what are you going to do now?
No.
Yeah, if they speak something bad to you.
Breathe.
Okay.
Don't
no, you don't respond the same way. Don't respond in kind. Okay? Why? That's the exact cause that makes it happen again. Okay? That's the exact cause that makes it happen again. If you care about yourself, if you want to get rid of this person who's irritating you, be nice to them. Okay? Will they stop yelling at you? Maybe yes, maybe no. But don't expect instant potatoes. Okay? It doesn't happen like that. It really doesn't. You're just preventing them from coming back again in the future. Okay? If you keep up this kind of behavior for a while, slowly, one by one, all the people and all the things that bother you will just go away. I'm talking financial problems, health problems, family problems, relationship problems, work problems. Everything will just go away. Okay? And I'm proof. Okay? I mean, I'm not claiming I'm a big person, but I'm saying, you know, I have built a company that sells $125 million a year from that thing. It works. And I don't care about money. I gave it all away. I don't have a dime. Okay? I really don't. I have big credit card bills. But I made it and you can do it. You see, I mean, prove it. You know, it's in Forbes magazine. Our company's there. They interviewed me. They said, how'd you do that? And it's there. Anything you want, okay? But you have to understand how to do it, okay?
Can you respond to in kind to pleasant things?
We're going to get to that. Now, what should your reaction be to nice things, okay? You know, you meet a person, you like them, and then they say, you know, I'd really rather spend the day with somebody else, you know? Okay? Now, if you get angry, upset, you will lose them again in the future. You see what I mean? It works the same with positive things. If you get this negative kind of desire or negative kind of possessiveness, you will lose them. You see what I mean? The willingness to share the good things you have is what makes you have more good things. Being unwilling to share the good things you have will make you lose the good things you have. You see what I mean? So this is the proper reaction to things you like. Share them with other people, and you will have as many as you want. Try to keep them for yourself. Don't share them. You'll lose them. You see what I mean? It's very interesting. The best way, if you already have some money, the best way to get more is to share the money you have. Okay? If you already have a person that you love and you'd like to keep them with you, the best thing to do is to be willing to allow other people to love them also. I don't mean that you should be married to somebody and go share them with somebody else, okay? I'm not saying that. Marriage is sacred, and in Buddhism also, you don't share that thing, okay? But I'm saying, in your mind, you have to be willing to share this person's attention and things like that. And then you will have more and more of what you want. You see what I mean? It's the willingness to share the good things that happen to you that create more good things. And the minute you start thinking in terms of protecting it or preventing other people from having it or keeping it for yourself and not sharing it, you will lose it. You see what I mean? That creates the seed in your mind to lose it. Okay? And then the third of the stores of virtue is to understand this principle. Okay? So, for bad things, you be patient. For good things, you share. And above all, you understand why you're doing it. Okay? You understand why you're doing it. Now, the last two lines. Practice throughout the day in words means as you walk through Galway, you mutter to yourself. Okay? In Tibetan, we say Dong Len, Dong Len, Dong Len, Dong. Say Dong.
Dong
Len.
Len.
Dong
Len.
Len means I take. Dong means I give. Len means I take. Dong means I give. Len means I take. Dong means I give. And this is like, well, you've heard of a mantra or holy words like a rosary or something. We just do that. We just go through the day, and as you're walking, you say giving, taking, giving, taking, giving, just to remind yourself, okay? If you know the whole verse from the first Panchen Lama's thing, that's okay. But otherwise, you just, you know, even while you're standing and waiting for a bus, you just say giving, taking, giving, taking, giving, taking. And you, it means I'm breathing in, I'm taking your problems from you. And I'm giving you my happiness. I'm giving you happiness, okay? And it's like a prayer. And it's just two words. You just say giving, taking, giving, taking, giving, taking. And this book was written 1,000 years ago. And they're saying, throughout the day, you can either say giving, taking, giving, taking, giving, taking. And we actually do it on a rosary also. We carry a rosary. I carry one here. And you just do it. You know, when you have time, you stand there giving, taking, giving, taking, giving, giving, you know. And then in your breath, you breathe. You know? And you just breathe. There's always somebody having a problem nearby. Okay. By the way, if you keep this up over a long period of time, you just become compassionate. You become like Mother Teresa. Okay? Your mind will change. Okay? And it's easy. It's cheap. You don't need any big to go to seminary or anything. Okay? It's just your breath. Okay? You're just using your breath. And that breath and that idea to help other people has profound influence on your inner wind. And your body starts to get stronger, healthier. You just feel like $1 million, you know. A person who does this practice at age 45 can do things they couldn't do at 20, physically, okay? And I'm not kidding. Okay? My teacher is 80 years old. You know, he's in the temple painting, you know. He's like, he's funny, you know. He gives 5-hour, 6-hour teaching. We're all asleep or we're dying, you know. And he's like, and one more thing, you know. You know, and it's great. It's really great. Yeah.
This technique of breathing in the bad things or the problems or illnesses from others.
Yeah.
Does it also work with my own things?
Yeah. But you have to do it very sincerely. And very seriously. It will not work in 1 week or 2 weeks, okay? You have to practice it, okay? And I'm not telling you it works in 2 weeks. I'm not telling you that. You have to keep it up, okay? And it's nice because it's not really like some difficult thing where you sit down and meditate for 12 hours or something. You just do it while you're walking around. You know, in New York, we do it on the subway, even though it's hard to breathe on the subway. All right. The last thing here says, we're actually going to finish on time, which is very strange. Oh, wait, we missed the third class. Okay. The order of taking is to start with yourself. It means this. While you're meditating, you can also do this taking and giving. For example, in the morning when you meditate, you think about somebody who's sick and you imagine taking their pain from them. Like if you know somebody who has cancer, then you're thinking, I take away your cancer, 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 okay? While you're breathing, okay? And then the text says, the book says, start with your friends. Start with your family. Start with people you like. It'll be more sincere. Okay? And then work up to people who are neutral. And then finally try to do it with your enemies. Okay? People you don't like. Alright? Take away your enemies' problems. By the way, this is very, very, very powerful. Okay? If you start to think about the people that you don't like, and you imagine that you're breathing away their pain, the next time you meet them, there's this very subtle change. There's a very subtle energy. You know, you can't quite dislike them as well as you used to. You see what I mean? Because you've been thinking about their problems. You know, like I used to have a guy who used to bother me a lot. He used to say bad things to me all the time. And then I found out he had a very bad back problem. And probably that's why he was irritable, you know, all the time. And then I start to do this practice. I start to breathe his back problems away. You can't do that for very long without starting to like this person. You see what I mean? And then there's this very strange change in the energy between you. And next time you see them, there's this... You're like, how's your back? Oh, I mean, I don't like you. You know? You know what I mean? And it's very beautiful. It's very strong. It's very powerful. Most of your unhappiness and all of your health problems are caused by not liking other people. So if you start to do this with them, your own problems start to go away. It's very powerful, very strong. Okay. Now it says start with yourself. What does that mean? And then we'll break for dinner. Start with yourself means you can do this breathing practice with yourself tomorrow. Okay? What does it mean? It means if you know you're going to have a hard day tomorrow, if you know you're going to meet somebody who's a problem for you, do the breathing on yourself tomorrow. Do it for yourself tomorrow. You see? I'm Michael Roach. Tomorrow is, let's say Monday. Monday night I have to go back to New York. I'm going to get there at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's dangerous to walk around New York at 1 o'clock in the morning, okay? Now he's going to be afraid and he might say something bad to somebody. So right today, I'm going to do it for him. You see? I take away your fear, Michael. You know, I take away your tiredness. I take away your irritation at your students who only have one car to pick up 12 people. And, you know, and you do it in advance. You see what I mean? You do it proactively. You do it 2 days before it's going to happen. And you do it on yourself. They say it's very easy to do it on yourself because you like yourself. Okay? And it's a good practice to start with. Okay? So, one of the kinds of the breathing practice, you can do it on yourself. Okay? In the future. See what I mean? So, in the morning, you can do it on yourself. If you know you're going to have a hard day, if you know you have to meet your mother and your mother's this cranky lady and, you know, then do it in the morning. Do it on yourself in the afternoon. You see what I mean? Do it for her or for him, meaning you. And then when the afternoon really comes and you meet your mother and she starts complaining and you're like, ready. Okay? And it's very strong, very strong part. You can give yourself strength from the past into the future. See what I mean? And when the future comes, that person has more strength. You can actually give them strength. You can give it to yourself. It's a very powerful beginning. They say it's a good place to start. So they say start means later you have to do it with everybody. Okay? Okay, we'll meet again at 7:30.
This is the end of session 3. Session 4.
Okay, we'll start then. We're going to go to class number 4. Alright, we'll try to do 3 tomorrow. All right, so we've gone through the first of the 7 steps and we've gone through the second of the 7 steps. What I'd like to go is straight to step number 4. And we might go back to 3 later. Alright, but I think number 4 is so important that I want to make sure, I think tonight is the night that most people could come. So I'd like to do number 4. All right. What page is that, Axel?
Nine.
Page 9? Okay, look at the bottom and you'll see page 9. And it says, it's really just 4 lines. It says, the brief essentials of the instruction are combined within 5 powers. In the great way, these same 5 are the advices for sending your mind, cherish the act. These are instructions on how to practice the thing we've been talking about throughout the day. And there are extra instructions for that. We've talked about 2 kinds of wisdom. The first one we called, what was that? Love, wisdom?
Wisdom,
love, and exchange love. Okay. Wisdom, love means all this thing only works if you understand that thing about neutral. Everything around you is neutral. You see what I mean? The people you meet on the street are not good or bad. They're not nice or cruel. They're only what your mind makes you see. You see what I mean? A person walks in here, you've never met them before, you've never talked to them before, and suddenly, within about 10 minutes, you like them or you don't like them. All right? Is this coming from the person? No. There are lots of evidences for that. For example, if it was coming from the person, you would have liked them or disliked them within 1 minute. You see what I mean? Because you have eyes and you have ears. If it was part of them to be pleasant or unpleasant, it should have been something that you could see right away. Okay? The other evidence that people are not pleasant or unpleasant from their own side is like music. Okay? Music is neutral. If you hear a song on the radio and some people say, I love that song, you know, you run over to your friend's house and you say, I can't believe it, this new song, you know, and you're all excited and you turn it on and you know what's the worst thing they can say? That's interesting. You know what I mean? And that's interesting means I don't like it, but you're my friend. And So even music is like that, you see? There's no song which is the favorite song of everybody. There's something that doesn't belong to the song, okay, called pleasant or unpleasant. The song does not possess a quality of being pleasant or unpleasant, okay? It just depends on who's listening. You see what I mean? Especially rap in New York City, you know. I got the man, got the woman, you know, and I cut your throat. And you're like, you're like, who could stand this music, you know? And then there's like 100,000 people who love it, you know what I mean? And it means that the pleasantness or the unpleasantness is not part of the music. It doesn't belong to the music. It's coming from somewhere else. And that's coming from you, okay? If you've been very good in the past to other people, you put a seed in your mind that whatever you listen to, you will like it. You see what I mean? And that principle is what means that you and I can go to heaven. And that principle is why it's true that you don't have to die a normal way. And that principle is why it's true that you can meet angels or other beings. You see what I mean? Because everything's neutral. You know, there aren't anybody who's an angel or not an angel. Okay? It depends on you. If your mind starts getting pure, then you will start running into angels. And I have many stories, okay? We're building this big retreat center called Diamond Mountain. We hope to have place for maybe 300, 400, 500 people to do silent retreets. And this is somebody in charge of it here. Okay? So, and that place is called Diamond Mountain. So he's out driving yesterday near Lederfrak, is it called? And there's this old peat bogger guy who's walking around and he's trying to get a lift and he gets in the car and he's trying to speak English to him, but he's only speaking Gaelic back. And there's this long ride and no one's talking. And then finally he stops at a house and he says, you know, he points here and get out of here. And the old guy turns around and says, you have to climb Diamond Mountain, you know, and gets out of the car. In English, right? So, yeah. So what I mean is, you go through these stages. If you do this thing, you'll start having these amazing things happen. I'm not kidding. It's not exaggeration. And I'm not some like, I don't believe in mystic things. I don't believe in ESP. I'm not trying to levitate here tonight. I had too much pizza, you know, and it's not like that. Really, honestly, very good things will start to happen to you. Amazing things. Okay, you just have to, because everything's neutral. Okay? It's, a person is just four sticks and one barrel. You see what I mean? And one big soccer ball here. And how you experience them only depends on your own mind. Okay? And you have to do some gardening. You have to put good seeds in there now. And then just relax, and then things will come to you. You see, it's very interesting. It's amazing. Amazing things. You know, last week somebody gave us a $3 million property for $1. You know, I didn't do anything. You know what I mean? I didn't go fight with them or ask them, or we don't want it. It's too much trouble to take care of it. And they just say, you can have it. I like what you do. It's a nice meditation. You can keep, people can come here and meditate and, you know, here. And it's because we're seeing that happen because we did good things for people. And that's how everything comes to you. According to this idea, you can't get 1 pound ever in your life unless you did something kind for someone else. Impossible, you know. It's just a principle. That's the way it works. And it's exciting. And you have all these great things happen. Those stories in the Bible about miracles and things, those are true. You know, and I'm not some white, you know, crazy, I was a businessman for 15 years. Very hard, New York, Manhattan. Tough business, diamonds, you know. This is Persian, Chinese, Indians, rough people. And it worked. You know, it works. It's amazing, you know. So, but you have to understand that things are neutral. You have to understand how it works. It's not enough to be a nice person. You have to understand why. You see what I mean? It's not enough to follow the Ten Commandments. You have to understand how they work. And then you can do it because you enjoy it and you understand what's happening. If someone just comes to you and says, oh, here's 10 rules, please keep it, see you later. It's good, that's a good thing. But if somebody says, here's 10 rules, and we made those rules because everything's neutral. We invented those rules because if you put those seeds in your mind, then within 6 months, a year, you start to see amazing things happen. Because things are neutral. You see, if someone explains it to you, how the Ten Commandments work, then you'll want to do them. And by the way, this whole stuff works faster if you understand how it works. You see what I mean? If you're kind to other people because you understand what's going to happen, it works better. And then some people said to me, it sounds somehow ignoble that you know you're going to get rich, so you're nice to people. You see what I mean? Of course your motivation can't be just to get rich, okay? If it is, it's not really being nice to other people. The point of getting wealthy, for example, is to help other people more. It's not bad to be wealthy. You can use the money for good things. You see, the point is to get wealthy and then to help other people with it. Just to get wealthy so you can have a bigger bathtub or something, you're just going to die with a bigger bathtub. You see, I mean, it's not a big, it doesn't mean much, all right? Of course, when I say all these things are going to happen to you, it's in the context of, then you turn them around and reinvest them. You see what I mean? You get more money and you give that away. And then you get bigger thing and you give that away. And then you keep reinvesting. Okay. Actually, the process of living in heaven is to keep reinvesting those things. You see what I mean? The way that heaven goes on forever is that you keep giving. You see what I mean? Okay. Now, what about this fourth verse, okay? We are going to get into how to maintain this practice through your whole life. And in the second half of tonight's class, we're going to talk about how to use it during death, during the experience of death, okay? And those are the two parts that we're going to talk about tonight. The brief essentials of the instruction are combined within five powers. What are the five powers? Say it, Pemba.
Pemba.
Pen is an ancient word in Tibetan, and it means to shoot something like an arrow. like to, it means to project something, to throw something. And dapen means to shoot an arrow, dopen means to shoot a slingshot. You know, it has this meaning of throwing something. And what it means in this practice, as the first of the five powers, is resolution. A resolution that you make in the morning. So you're like shooting ahead for the whole day. You see what I mean? You're deciding in the morning what you're going to do for the whole day. All right? What is it that you should decide? This you have to learn a thing called Rang Chenzin. Say Rang Chenzin. Rang Chenzin. Rang Chenzin means, Rang means yourself. Chenzin means taking care of yourself only. Cherishing yourself only. Okay? Just taking care of yourself. Rang Chenzin means just taking care of yourself. This is the idea that anytime you get some money, you should spend it on yourself. Okay? Anytime there's a one cup of tea there, you should take it. Anytime there's a one scone there, you should take it. You see what I mean? And it extends from scones up to your whole lifetime. You see what I mean? A scone is a small thing. But Rang Chenzin is this attitude that the most important thing in life is to take care of myself. And we do it. You see what I mean? You don't comb other people's hair in the morning. Maybe some people do, I don't know. But throughout your life, you're used to combing this hair. You see what I mean? And when you go to the store, you're not buying clothes for other people mostly. I mean, you're looking what kind of clothes you like. When you turn on the radio, you're not turning on what the other people like, you're turning on what you'd like. You see what I mean? And there's this habit of human beings to take care of themselves first. Okay? And you know, kind people or generous people are people who spend 5% or 10% of their resources on others. You see? But 90, 80, 100? No such thing. You see what I mean? You always make sure you're fed in the morning. You always make sure your pants are on in the morning. You see what I mean? You always get up and take care of yourself first. And this is a human mistake. Okay? It's a human tendency. It's natural. And like so many natural tendencies, it's wrong. Okay? So the idea that you should feed this one hole, and the idea that this should be combed nicely, and the idea that these two shoulders should have a nice shirt on them, you see what I mean? It's just a mistake. Okay? It's natural, and it's a mistake. Okay? How big are you? You know, where is you? It's a big philosophy question, you know. Kevin talked about it last night. You know, where are you? You know, when you think about me, you normally think about the edge of your own skin. You see what I mean? And this is a big thing in Tibet. They say, where are you? You say, I'm here. Where? I'm inside this skin. You know, this is me. Okay? And that's an idea that everybody has, you know? Like this skin shouldn't get skinny. And this skin shouldn't be too fat. And this hair should be combed. Because this is mine. You see what I mean? And you decided that this is you. And everybody agrees. You see what I mean? Everybody says, this will be Michael Roach, and that will be Phil. And this skin will belong to Michael Roach, and that skin will belong to Phil. And there'll be this, there's a line between us. You start over there, I'll start over here. I'll start where this skin starts, and you start where that skin starts. Okay? And that feels to you natural. That feels to you like that's the way it is. But really, it's just a decision. It's really just a decision. You decide where you start. When you have a child, how you get bigger. You see what I mean? Mother, if you hit this child, that mother's going to do something. You see what I mean? There's this intense feeling when you have a child that now this is part of me. You know, that your me suddenly gets bigger. And women work just as hard to feed their children or harder than they do to feed themselves. The idea of who me is has just got bigger. You know, they call the child by a different name, but in their mind, me just got four arms, four legs, two mouths. You see what I mean? And they will work just as hard for that mouth as they work for this mouth. You see what I mean? So really, me is a decision. Me just stretches where you want me to stretch. I have a friend in New Jersey, in America. He got diabetes. He has a gangrene on his foot. And they told him, you have to cut it off at your knee. And he resisted for a long time. And then finally he said, okay, go. It got really bad. And they said, it's going to kill you within a week or 2 weeks. So he said, he thought about it. First he said he would rather die than lose his leg. Later he was about to die. He said, well, maybe I could lose a leg. You know, you see, at some point during those 2 days, his mind changed. And he decided, that's not going to be me anymore. It's a decision. From the knee down won't be me anymore. And I can lose it. It's not like he took that leg home and kept it in the refrigerator or something like that. You know? He said, cut it and throw it away. It's not me anymore. You see? So me can get bigger if you have a child. Me can get smaller if you have gangrene on your foot. You see what I mean? It's a decision. It's a perception. It's the same as everything else we're talking about, you see? It's just what your mind is deciding who is me, okay? Rang Chenjin is a mistake, you see? Rang Chenjin says, at the edge of this skin, from here up to here, I will take care of that person first. You know, that's Michael Roach. Somehow Michael Roach is more important than other people. It's more important that he has a nice shirt than her. It's more important that he gets the dinner he wanted than that person gets the dinner they wanted. And that's just a decision, and it's a bad decision. You see what I mean? It causes all the problems in the world. You see what I mean? I should get fed first, and if I have any extra money, I'll be glad to give you a donation. You see what I mean? Why? What makes you more important than other people? You know, what? And what? Who's to decide that you stop here and he starts there? It's just a name. It's just a decision, and well, you can prove it. When a mother has a child, suddenly she's just as interested in feeding that thing. Rang Chenjin is the opposite. Rang Chenjin is this. It's a mistaken state of mind. Okay. By the way, it depends on not understanding that neutral thing. Okay? You can't have this if you understand that other thing. What was the other thing? It was that neutral. You know, the guy walks in and whether you find him pleasant or unpleasant, it all depends on your mind. And you don't understand that. You think he is unpleasant from his own side. The unpleasantness belongs to him. That's not true. Why? If it's true that any person in this room had unpleasantness that belonged to them, then everybody would find him unpleasant. Everybody would be sitting over on this side. And there'd be this one person over there. Okay. But the truth is, there's no such thing. Somebody finds them pleasant. Somebody finds them unpleasant. At least they find themselves pleasant. Okay? Something. Okay? It means that it's very, very radical. It's very, very profound. Nobody that you ever met was unpleasant from their own side. You make them unpleasant. It's coming from you. It's not emanating from them like light or something like that. If it was, everyone would find them unpleasant, but everybody likes somebody. Okay? It's very interesting. So, it's proof. It's obvious. It's not coming from that. Alright? Now, even the idea that Michael should end at his skin is also the same. It's not in my skin. Okay? It's not naturally part of me that I have to end it, that finger. Why? Because if I have a child, suddenly I'm going to be a little few feet wider. And I have two mouths to feed. You know, I make myself, I decide myself is bigger. And if my leg gets sick, I will cut it off and make myself smaller. You see, I mean, it's a decision. It's just a perception. There's nothing natural about deciding that Angela's a person and Michael's a person and we're different. And she's over there and I'm over here and I should take care of me first. It's not natural. It's just the way you see things because of something in your mind. You see what I mean? And, you know, when people have a family, suddenly the me gets bigger. You know, I've seen guys in New York, we had a big company, we had 9-story building in Manhattan, and this one guy didn't have a car. One day he finally bought a car. We used to stand at the window and watch the gang kids try to open the doors of the cars. And they actually get on a bicycle and they ride down and they don't even stop. They're just pulling the handle like that to see if, and then 1 out of 20 will be open and then it's gone, you know. And we used to stand there and kind of yell at them a little bit, but don't say much, you know. Then he bought his car. Then it was his car. And then it's like, don't get near that car, you know. It's like, suddenly me got bigger. You see what I mean? The idea of me extended to this metal. And it's just a decision, okay? What you call me is your own decision. It's something that came from something you did in the past, okay? And the idea of restricting me to this skin is a mistake, okay? Why? Because then you won't take care of other people. If you don't take care of other people, then you're going to have all kind of bad seeds in your mind, okay? The worst seed you can have in your mind is to decide that this arm has to be taken care of. This arm needs well-clipped fingernails, you know? This arm needs organic food. This arm needs vitamin C, D, E, F, you know? And the arm of those people over there in that other country, I don't care. You know what I mean? Then that's the source of all your problems. You see what I mean? That's Rang Chenzin. Rang Chenzin is a mistake that me should end at Michael's arm and shouldn't extend to other people. You see? It's not natural. Okay? When you get up in the morning, Pemba means I will spend my day trying to stop that kind of thinking. That's all. Okay? So the first of the five powers. You wake up in the morning and you say, I want to get rid of that way of thinking. By the way, according to Tibetan wisdom, this is the source of every single problem you have. Every single problem comes from deciding that I will take care of the person inside this skin and not the person inside of that skin, which is just an arbitrary decision. You see what I mean? And it's the source of all your problems. Okay? Ultimately, it causes every human suffering, this way of thinking, okay? There are people who got over this way of thinking and they're not in this world anymore. You see what I mean? And we're stuck here. If you're here, it's because you have this, okay? If you're not already someplace better, it's because you have this. And every morning when you get up, you have to say, I'm sick of you. I'm tired of you. I refuse to listen to you anymore. You know what I mean? And then you put up your little fight. Okay? He's a big guy. You're not so big. You won't be able to overcome it immediately. But at least in the morning say, ah, now I know who causes me all my problems. You know, it's you. Selfishness. You know, taking care of myself first. I refuse to listen to you anymore. Okay? And it's not some noble thing, okay? By the way, you can't get rich, you can't get healthy, you can't have good friends, and meet nice wife, husband, etc., unless you get rid of this thing. Okay? It blocks you from everything you want. This idea that you have to take care of yourself first. It's a mistake, it's primitive, it belongs with the Middle Ages, you know, should have gotten rid of it a long time ago. It hurts everybody. And it's just a dumb idea. Okay? And every morning when you get up, Pemba means, you know, I pledge to get rid of this. In some small way, during today, I will try to put my mind in someone else's mind and take care of them. Okay? By the way, later we're going to talk about tricks that you can use to fight this tendency. You know, it's very noble to get up and say, you should take care of other people as well as you take care of yourself. Could I have some chocolate? You know, and it's very noble. If you don't have some special skill, you might not be able to do it. You see, there's many, many special tricks you can use to fight with this guy. But at least in the morning you should wake up and say, I'm tired of being selfish and I'm going to try to stop it. Okay? It causes all of the pain that you have. Number two. Say komba.
Komba.
Komba. Those of you who know a little bit of Tibetan, gom means to meditate. Kom, which is different sound, means to get used to something, to keep doing it over and over again until you get used to it. So meditation actually means to get used to something. Kumbha means to get used to what? Get used to thinking about other people as taking care of other people. Okay? By the way, I don't think we can go on unless I give you the three ways to take care of other people. Alright? This is the holiest thing I can leave with you. I'm going to be gone for 3 years. I'm thinking Winston or Tom Flynn might come over here and teach. And I'd like to see that. And I think you should arrange it, you know. They have enough money. They can get here on their own, okay? And, yeah. And, but I want you to know these three kinds of meditation. This is the essence of what we're doing here, okay? This is the essence. Three kinds of meditation. Three ways to do this meditation to overcome your selfishness. And if you want the most immediate fast food happiness you can get, this is it. This you can start tonight and you'll feel better by tomorrow. If you keep it up for 6 months, you'll be a totally different person. Okay? I have students in New York. I have one lady I'm thinking of. She used to work for me in the diamond business. She got fired from 5 companies in 3 months. Why? She was the most uncooperative, what do you call it? Stubborn, used to argue constantly, complain constantly. And she started to do this practice. I don't think there's a person in among my 1,000 students in East Coast of America that people love more now. She's like shining all the time. Actually physically shining all the time. People come to be in her house, and she runs a small store, and like there'll be 20 people there just to see her. You know what I mean? I think about 150 people are attending her classes. She teaches meditation to working people in the morning before they go to work. And just universally everyone loves her. And this is the same lady that got fired from 5 companies, and you know, and because she did these 3 meditations, okay? And I've rarely seen a person who changed so much, so quickly, and she's just totally happy. So first one, I like to call it Jhampa method. Okay. Jhampa is a Tibetan name. There's a monk where I studied for many years. His name is Jhampa. Jhampa, by the way, means Mr. Love. Okay. And he's this little guy. He's about 4.5 feet tall. He's kind of chubby. He looks around, you know. And he's got this big smile on his face all the time. And he doesn't speak very good English. He's Tibetan. And he lives in America now. But when you come to his place, he's like the cook at this temple, at this monastery. And he's the first person you meet. And when you come in the front door, there's a kitchen right there. And he like greets you, and he's got this big smile, and he's like, "You, I like, come, eat, drink, sit." You know, and he puts you in a chair, and then suddenly he's brought you your favorite drink, like if it's tea. And then suddenly he's put in front of you your favorite food, and you're like, did I meet you before? And he says, no, I've never met you before. And then you're like, how did he know what I like? You know, and Jhampa has just been trained in this huge monastery called Sera, which is my home monastery, and he's been trained there, and they read your face. They watch your face. They watch your eyes. You know, they teach you when you're 7 years old, they start teaching you how to watch people's eyes and watch their face. And it's funny, when you walk into a kitchen that you've never been in, you're like, you know, your eyes, very quickly, you're not even aware of it. You see, your eyes go to the stove, there's a tea kettle, you're like, they pause for just a millisecond, you know, and then you look at the refrigerator because you like milk in your tea. And then suddenly you're looking at the counter to see if there's sugar. And then there's some fruit or some candy on the table, and you glance at it, and your eye stops just a millisecond, and he's watching, and he's like this friendly little monk. He's like this, and he's like, he's got his back to you, but he's and then suddenly he's brought you all your favorite things. You see what I mean? Because they train people in the monastery. And you know, the eyes are the, what do they call it, window of the soul or something. It's really true. It's a cliche, you know, I didn't think about what it means. He's good at it. And he's been trained for like 10, 15 years. You read people's faces, you see their body language, you know, who do they turn to? You know, who are they? Everybody's turning to someone they like, you know. Everyone's turning a little bit away from someone they don't like. And there's all this thing about the way you stand, the way you talk, the way you look, the way you, your face is. Everything about you is sending out messages. And Jhampa method means watch other people. And when they come into your house, you watch and see what they want. And then you give it to them. You see, it's the art of supplying other people with what they want by just being observant. You see what I mean? You just sit there and you get to know them and you study them. It's like a study. You know how artists like Michelangelo would study a person's body and check and look and think? And but in Jhampa method, you study what they like. You see what I mean? And within a week, he knows everything about you. You know? And not in a bad way. He's not trying to cheat you or get money out of you or anything like that. He just wants to make you happy. You know? And he remembers. People come back 6 months later and before you look around, he's got your tea. You know? He makes it a point. And he has never, I've never heard him admit it. You see what I mean? That's one of the to make it really powerful, you don't tell anybody. You just do it. You see what I mean? You don't make a big deal about it. And it's what we call transparent in the software industry, right? It's the GUI is transparent, meaning the user is getting what they want and they don't even know that you've worked so hard to give it to them. It's just transparent. It just comes to them exactly what they wanted. And they don't have to open up the manual and see how to work this thing. Everything is there. And you just push a button and everything you want comes to you. And Jhampa method means that, okay? If you want the quickest way to be happy, quickly. And happy I mean financial success, family success, work success, relationship success, feel confident, don't have any problems, depression, unhappiness, sadness, drugs, alcohol. Jhampa method is number one, okay? Just make it a point to be an expert at watching other people, you know? Like you're just spying on them, but sort of in a good way, you know? It's like, what do they like? You know? And just constantly trying to supply it to them. You see what I mean? Without them even being aware of it. You know, they sit down, the tea is there already, you've already left the room. And they're like, oh, that's my favorite tea. How do you know that? You know? And it's just an art. And there's no way to make yourself happier than that. Why? I'm going to go back to the wisdom part. It's difficult. It'd be easier if I just left you with this nice, cozy feeling. Oh, help other people. But we say you have to understand how it works, okay? Your mind is neutral. Your mind is the same as that man who walked in here. When he first walks in, he's just two more arms, two more legs, and one barrel standing there. And you don't feel good or bad. You don't find him pleasant or unpleasant. Suddenly, after a few minutes, you're deciding, I like this person or I don't like this person. Where is it coming from? It's not coming from them. Okay? If it's coming from them, it wouldn't take 2 or 3 minutes to dislike them. The minute they walk in the door, oh, I dislike you. Okay? Okay? If it was something coming off their body, or, you know, if it belonged to them, it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to you. And then there's something in your mind that it's like sunglasses that have a certain color. And when you look at this person, you think they seem unpleasant. But really, it's your own glasses. You see what I mean? And those are created by what you did in the past to other people. We call it karma. It doesn't matter what you call it. It's an imprint on your mind. If you are consistently kind to other people, everything you run into will be pleasant. Okay? It's just the way it works. And there's nothing pleasant or unpleasant in the world, but you make it so. Okay? Get used to that. What's this got to do with Jhampa method? If you act like this consistently throughout the day, what's going to happen? You're going to have this head full of good seeds. You know, in 4 months, 6 months, amazing. Everything tastes good. I'll tell you something. Most people go in reverse, okay? When you're young, say 20 years old, we believe that you have a lot of good seeds from your past life, okay? You feel healthy. Things taste good. Things smell good. Every experience you have is intense. And then as you get older, you have to start coffee and cigarettes and tea because you're losing that. Your senses are getting dull. It takes two coffees to get where you used to get with one coffee, where you used to get with a glass of water. You see what I mean? Because you're aging. And you're losing those good seeds in your mind. They get old. As you experience things, do you lose them? You see what I mean? It's like using up credit on a credit card. And suddenly, if you keep this up, you go back to 20. And I'm not kidding. Smells you didn't smell for years, you can smell. You see? Food just tastes incredible. Music, almost every song you hear on the radio is fantastic. You see what I mean? The air starts to get cleaner. The crime rate in New York has dropped 50% in the last few years. Literally. Okay? You know, your whole environment starts to change because your mind is changing. Okay? It's very, very profound. Okay? Imagine having the taste that you had when you were 20 or the hearing or the strength in your body, the vigor in your body. They all start to come back. You see, it's very, beautiful. If you watch out for other people, if you do this, okay? That's the first level. Now, second level. Switch bodies. Okay, we talked about it yesterday. When you come to a person, you're sitting in your kitchen with somebody, or you meet somebody on the street, or you're in a restaurant with somebody, consciously pretend that you are switching bodies. Okay? Like now, I'll give you an example. So here's Phil, and then pretend that you're inside his body. Now, who are you looking at? At me. Okay. Now I'm looking at Geshe Michael standing there. Okay. And then you think, what does Phil want from Geshe Michael? You know, what would Phil most like from Geshe Michael? Okay. And it's a mental exercise. It's a very profound exercise. This is learning to be a Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa wasn't built in a day. Jesus' love was not built in a day. It takes practice. It's like playing piano. It's like learning carpentry or painting or dance or anything else. It's practice. You have to practice being compassionate. And then one day you wake up and you are. Okay? But it doesn't come in a day. Okay? So this is one of the ways to practice. You pretend that now I'm in his body, I'm listening to Geshe Michael, and I'm thinking, what would he like the most right now? What would he like the most right now? You know? I suspect he'd like me to stop pretty soon and have some tea. Okay? And then maybe he'd like me to clarify that one thing a little bit better. And maybe he's hoping that I give him a little thing to send back to Italy or something. You know what I mean? But you go through this thing of, it's the exercise of thinking, of putting yourself inside this other person, okay? And that whole exercise of thinking what would they like me to do now is one of the holiest and most powerful seeds you can plant in your mind. You know, you want a shortcut or you want these things to work fast, you want to see angels quickly, this is it. This is, of all the things you can do, you know, charity, patience, humility, meditation, study. This is number one. You know, put yourself in the other person's body and look at you from their body and say, what do I want? What do I want from me right now? You see? Just the exercise of that is tremendous good deed. Okay? And quickly your world will start to change. Okay? Because your world is created by what you did in the past. And all the problems you have come from the opposite attitude, which is taking care of me. Okay? And by the way, it's not, I have a lot of people, they kind of hesitate. They say, you know, if I followed your advice, if I put myself in Tony's body, and I looked at Geshe Michael, and if Tony felt like getting $100, I'd quickly be broke. You know what I mean? You don't have to think like that. Wealth itself comes from goodness. the total economy of the world, the total number of MasterCard transactions that was done today, has come from goodness. There is no other source of wealth. You see? Money itself is created by generosity. There is no other source of economy. The entire economy of Ireland is driven by the kindness shown to Irish people to each other. And that's where money comes from. Period. Karl Marx said, what?
It comes from the dirt.
Very interesting. Ultimately, all wealth comes from the dirt. He who controls the dirt controls wealth. Gold, silver, steel, iron, corn, cows, grass, everything comes from the earth. Gotta control the earth. It's a source of all economy. And this thinking says, that ain't true, Carl. All money is created, and value and economies are created by generosity. It's very profound. If everyone were generous to each other, everyone would have enough food. Period. You see what I mean? And if these words are coming from a person who built a $100 million business, okay? It works. It's not foolish. It's not noble. It is noble, but it also works. Okay? It's true. All financial welfare, all money comes from kindness. Okay? It is actually created by kindness. Okay? When you look at that green paper and you see 100 or 10 on it, where is that coming from? It's your impression. It's just a piece of green paper. But with this green paper, you can make somebody work for 2 days. You see? It's funny, if you think about it. It's just a green piece of paper. If some guy came here from 100 years ago and you said, you know, if you work for me for 2 days, I'll give you this green piece of paper. You're like, thanks, but I'm busy. You know? You know? The value in that paper is totally from the mind. It's just an agreement. You see? It's very interesting. Okay. So anyway, this is the most powerful way to get the green paper to have lots of zeros. All right? And I'm not kidding. And I'm not naive. Okay? Hard-headed businessman from New York. Okay? Number three. Okay, hard-headed business monk. Okay. Number three is the rope trick. Okay, what's the rope trick? If you think about this Jampa method, I'm over here, and Phil's over there, and I'm like spying on him, you know, like, you know, okay? And it's like, what's it called? Paranoia, right? You think people are out to hurt you? If you get good at this, you'll see people out to help you, you know? So anyway, I'm out to help him, and I'm like, what can I do for this guy? But it's still this separation, right, between me and him, okay? Now, number two, you're sort of breaking down the separation. You're starting to break down the separation. You decided, I'll keep my body over here, but my mind's going to be in his body for a while. And then I'm going to look at this body and see what he wants or me wants from me. I was in Mongolia. This guy's trying to translate this in front of 2,000 people. And he's like, wait, who's me? Who's you? In the rope trick, you break it all down. Okay? You decide that we're going to be one person. And in your mind, you take this rope and you put it around Phil and you. Okay? There's this big rope. And you just decide we're one person now. Just decide. Okay? It's a very interesting thing, you know? So I do it with this lady. Okay? I do this rope thing. Now we're one person. Okay? How many mouths? Two. You know? So when I go to a restaurant, I have to consult. You know, I have to say, okay, we're one person now. What do you want to eat? You know, and they say, I wanted spaghetti. She wanted pizza. So we had pizza. But, okay. But what I mean is, you're thinking of as one person now. I have 4 feet now. Two of them have to have man's shoes. Two of them have to have lady's shoes on there. You see what I mean? And I need to buy one dress and one pair of pants. You see what I mean? And And you just decide that's the way it's going to be. Now I have four hands. If I buy mittens, I need to buy four. You see what I mean? And you just decide. And you can say, you know, that's naive or that's unnatural. But what I'm trying to say, if you understand that neutral thing, there's no more me about this skin than there is me about her skin. You see what I mean? Why not make me twice as big? It's just a decision. You see what I mean? It's just a decision. Then people come up to you and say, no, if you poke a pin in this arm, you feel different than if you poke a pin in that arm. Okay? That's true. But I know how she's feeling, right? I mean, you don't have to be a genius to say it hurts. She goes like that, and that's not a good argument. You see what I mean? Okay, so there's going to be a Michael Roach tomorrow. He's going to want breakfast. Okay? Do you take care of him? Does your me extend to Michael Roach tomorrow? Did I go out and buy breakfast cereal today? Afternoon? Yeah. Can I feel what he's feeling? No. Also, why do you buy breakfast cereal for him? You see what I mean? That argument doesn't work. You see what I mean? You can't just buy things for whoever's feeling right now Michael Roach. You constantly take care of yourself in the future. Right? Constantly. You're squirreling aside retirement pension. For whom? That's a different guy. You can't feel what he feels. Why take care of him? So that argument doesn't work. You see what I mean? Okay, you can't feel what she feels. You stick a pin in this arm, it feels different than when you stick a pin in that arm. Then you shouldn't buy groceries for tomorrow. You can't feel what that guy's feeling. Okay? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. So try the rope thing. The rope thing means just decide. Pick one person, doesn't matter who. You know? And take care of them as if they were an extension of yourself. That's all. Try it with one other person. And when you are strong enough, expand it to two other people. And when you are strong enough, expand it to three other people. Then I have people come up to me and say, I can't afford it. I can hardly keep this one fed and clothed. You know, you expect me to take care of two people? And then I say, no, you're not taking care of two people, you're taking care of one. You didn't get it. Okay? If I say you have to take care of three other people, you can feel put out. If I say they are you, you'll do it. You'll figure it out. Hey, you fed this mouth two or three meals a day for thousands of days in a row. You know? Somehow, you took care of this body, had enough clothes. I think you can figure it out for one other body. If you really wanted to. And it depends on not seeing a distinction between you and other people. Okay? It depends on redefining who you are. Okay, if you really wanted to, the human mind's capacity is practically infinite, you know. If you had any real interest in feeding one other person as well as you feed yourself, come on, you could do it. Okay? And then you just start expanding. Okay? You just start expanding. It's just a decision. Okay? What would happen if everybody did that?
Nobody hungry.
Nobody hungry. You know, come on, there's enough food for everybody. You know, Americans overeat half the day so they can exercise the second half of the day. You know what I mean? Really? You know, 90% of the things in an American home are not used in the course of a year. They just sit there, taking up people's work and people's welfare around the world so that they can have an extra thing in their house, you know what I mean, that they don't use. And if you decided to do it, you could do it. It's just a question of deciding. And I'll put it in a negative way. If you don't do it, A, you're going to be unhappy. B, you'll die. You'll never go to heaven. You'll never see angels. You'll just be an old, boring death. You know, one more dead person on the planet. You see what I mean? The idea that you should just take care of yourself is primitive. It doesn't work. It kills you. You see what I mean? And you don't get to see all these other neat things. You see, I mean, it's just dumb. You see, I'm not talking noble or religious or spiritual or anything else. It just doesn't work. Okay? You don't get rich that way. The more effort you take to take care of this particular bag of skin, the more trouble you'll have. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's primitive. It doesn't work. Just stop it. Okay? It's beautiful. This thing works. Okay?
If you take care of that bag of skin, when to do so is will allow you to be of benefit to others.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is a very precious, beautiful bag of skin. Okay? Yeah. I do have to feed this one properly. That's a tenet of this philosophy. You have to take good care of yourself. Feed yourself well. Exercise yourself well. Let yourself have a bath once in a while. You know what I mean? Let yourself go to a movie once in a while. You see what I mean? Meditate yourself sometimes, every day. You have to be very, like, objective almost, you know. This bag of skin can help a lot of people. Let's take care of this bag of skin. Don't overfeed that bag of skin. You know, don't give that bag of skin too much food, you know. Don't overwork it. Make sure it's happy once in a while. You see what I mean?
Assuming then that people... I don't know, it's like the presumption that comes naturally to people.
By the way, it's natural not to do this. The natural human tendency is to take care of your own bag of skin. It's not logical. It doesn't work, but it's the natural tendency. Just as the natural tendency to someone who yells at you is to do what? Yell back at them. If you think about it, that's the only way to make them come back to you again in a bad way. But it's natural for us to do. Okay, we believe actually that's why we're not in heaven yet. You know, if you're a person who hasn't figured out these things yet, you're stuck here. Okay, the habit of taking care of your bag of flesh first is just dumb, and it's why you're stuck here, and it's why we're getting old. And if you could just get over it, you'd be totally happy. But you have this lie in your mind that says if you take care of others, you won't be happy because you won't have enough for yourself. You know, it's a lie. It's just a total lie. You know, and you can. Christina Noble, I met her in Mongolia. I didn't know who she was. I was done with my lecture. Everybody went home already. There's three people left, and they bring in this lady, and they say, "This is Christina Noble." I say, "Who's Christina Noble?" They say, "Oh, wow, you don't know. She takes care of 50,000 children in Vietnam, you know. She's just an old housewife from Ireland, you know, and she decided that she was bigger than that. You know what I mean? And she does it, you know. And she's not like a businessman and she didn't have any money at all. She just decided, I have to take care of these people. And she does it. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. Now she's attacking Mongolia. You know, there's like 10,000 street kids and she's already collected half of them. You know, and she's not afraid and she doesn't think, oh, I won't have enough for Christina. You know, she doesn't think like that. And she's totally happy. You can tell that, you know. And makes everyone happy. So anyway, take a break, and then we'll do the rest. We'll get to death sooner or later, okay? Okay. Let's start again. So Komba, now you can get a sense for Komba. Komba means do it all the time, okay? On a small level. A lot of people talked to me during the break. They said, oh, I'm going to go crazy or get sick or, you know. Start at a small level, okay? All the sacred books from ancient times say, start with what you can handle. You know what I mean? Don't go adopting 20 other beings, 20 other skin bags right away and calling them you, okay? Because you will go crazy. They say, start slowly. You know, start with a cup of tea. Start with a smile. We're not talking giving people £1,000 or something. It's not like that. Start with what you can do. There's much more progress to be made in small things than big things. You see what I mean? You can only give £1,000 away. If you're me, you can't even do it once, okay? I mean, you just have so much capacity. The world is in much more need of friendliness than money. You see what I mean? The things that are the most important are free. You see what I mean? Just to be kind to other people, just to think of other people, you know, to adopt their skin bags in the sense of just being good to them in a nice human fellow way is what is really rare and what people need the most. It's not so much money or place to stay or... You have to do that too, but according to your capacity... According to your means. There's a joke in Tibet. They say, Is a Buddha a perfectly enlightened being? And you say, yes. Are they totally compassionate? Yes. Have they developed their own heart to the largest development of a heart can do? And you say, yes. And are they the most generous beings you can imagine? You say, yes. So are there no poor people in the world? And you say, of course there's poor people in the world. So what, are they a failure? So there's no such person? And they say, no, there is such a person. You can't remove the poverty of the entire world yourself. Who has to do that? Each person. You see, I mean, you can't change another person's imprints because that's their imprints. You see, I mean, I can't loan you my imprints. If I happen to be seeing three angels in this crowd, I'm not going to tell you who they are. Okay? And you say, I haven't seen one. You know, and I say, oh, here, you can borrow my mind for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? You can't do that. You see, one of the principles is that you plant your own imprints and you reap your own imprints. You see, I mean, I can show you how to do it, but you have to do it yourself. Okay? By the way, the proof of that is that we're still here. Get it? If it was possible for Jesus or Mother Teresa or the Buddha to take their beautiful imprints for seeing paradise and put them in your mind, they would do it. They're not like selfish or they're not like cheap. You know what I mean? Of course they would do it. But they can't. And the proof is that we're still here. Because of course if they could have done it, they would have done it. You see what I mean? It's very interesting. Did you have a question?
No, I think I'm half answering it.
Okay.
And the bit about the anger, if somebody comes in, they're very angry with me and I react in a good way.
Yeah.
Then I'm not in some way helping their karma because I'm not reacting to their anger, I'm creating more anger. So in an indirect way,
you can say that. Yeah. But as you know, sometimes the more patient you are, the more angry they get. You see what I mean? So... You know,
so it's still their own karma.
It's still theirs. Yeah, everybody owns their own. And there's only one person can get you out. And that's you. And it's a big responsibility, but it's a kind of liberty also. I mean, I think that sooner or later, you have to reach this point if you're going to be a really good person. You can't keep hoping that there's going to be some divine intervention in your mind. You know, you can't keep hoping that someone's going to show up out of the blue and say, okay, you don't have to get cancer. Other people, yes. You know, it's not going to happen. And sooner or later, you have to take responsibility. I mean, I think sooner or later you come to it that it's you are making these imprints in your mind, and it's you who has to change them. Can you get blessings and divine grace? Yes. Absolutely. Okay? How? Ask for it. Sincerely, ask for it. Okay? Where the heck does it come from? It comes from the goodness of asking. Alright? It's very interesting. They don't give it to you. Okay? It's there, and it works, and it's real, and you need it, and you should ask for it. And it comes from the faith of asking. Okay? Very beautiful. So still, it's your fault. Okay? All right, but I'm not demeaning it. I'm saying it's absolutely 100% real, and the great lamas of ancient times spent half their time asking for divine grace in meditation. They picture somebody like Jesus and say, help me. And it works, okay? But it works because of the sincerity of your asking, okay? So it's real. It really does exist. But Jetsun Kapa spent, you know, the founder of our particular order, spent half his life in meditation asking for divine grace. And he got plenty of it. Okay? And it comes from the faith of asking. You see what I mean? So it's very beautiful. It doesn't break the rules. Okay. So Gomba meant all day long, you don't have to do big things, do little things. Watch out for that cup of tea. You're in the post office. Somebody needs an envelope. You just kind of push it over there. And they're like, oh, there's an envelope. Anybody know? You can have it, you know. And all day long doing these secret little good things for other people. The karma of that is tremendous. The good seeds that come in your mind from that are tremendous. You know, somebody has a big package, you open the door. They don't even realize you're opening the door. You know what I mean? You're in a busy shop and people are trying to get back and forth. You step back. Get out of the way. Step towards the wall. Think of other people. You see what I mean? Do them a kindness that they don't even know you're doing it. You see what I mean? All day long you're watching around you and taking care of other people in a secret way. You know? You're doing things for them that they never knew you did and they'll never know you did. And you just keep doing that all day long. You know? There's a piece of garbage on the street. You pick it up and you throw it out. Nobody ever knows. Suddenly the street is cleaner. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking 1,000 pounds and giving your house away and things like that. Okay, you'll get there. But this is much more profound. You know, this little constantly thinking about what other people need and doing it for them before they even know it. You see what I mean? Like software is supposed to be like that. No, and I mean good products. They taught us in business. They said Sony company or Honda company. We studied them. They were so successful. And what they did was they had meetings to decide what the customer wants. And then they had meetings to decide what the customer hasn't thought of yet that they want. You see what I mean? And they put all these features on the car that the customer hasn't even thought that they want yet. They anticipate what the customer will want next year before the customer knows they want it. And you should be like that. You know? You're like anticipating what everybody else would like, maybe even before they realize what they want. You see what I mean? Then you're getting really good at it. Okay?
Session 4 continues on the next CD.